Okay, chapter 9, verse 1. In the first year of Darius, the son of Hasasra, of the seeds of the Medes, which was made king over the realms of the Chaldean. Let's turn over to Daniel 5:31, and it will tell us about Darius and how old he was. Darius was 62 years old at this time. Huh? Chapter 5. Verse 31. And Darius the Medanian took the kingdom, being about 62 years old. So he was about 62 at this time. And he took over from his father. He was the son. Does someone have anything?
Well, that was verse 30. That's the name of Belshazzar. He was the king of the Chaldeans. He was the son of Nebuchadnezzar. That's when the Medes and under Darius and Persians under Cyrus, they came into Babylon and captured it. And it's kind of interesting how they did that. The city was shut up, had been shut up tight, history would tell us. And the only way to get in was through a little stream in underneath the walls of the city. And the Babylonians were so certain that nobody could conquer them, they just closed the gates and didn't bother putting anybody. And there the Medes all came in underneath the city wall through that little stream, that little river, whatever it was. And that's how they got inside the kingdom to conquer it. And it was and as you read there, Darius was the one who was in charge of the Medes that took over it. And because it was a split kingdom between the Medes and the Persians, and even though it was split, they worked together. As you said, Darius was the king. But that's how they got in and captured them. They just snuck in under the wall.
Does anybody else have anything? In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years were of the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolation of Jerusalem. Now, in the first year of this, Daniel understood this by what? By Daniel. Over in the book of Jeremiah. Evidently, he had the scripts of Jeremiah, the book of Jeremiah, because he understood it by the books and the teachings and stuff. And if you want, we'll turn over to Jeremiah 25, 11, and 12. Somebody wants to read it? Jeremiah 25, 11, and 12. That is telling us that Babylon will be destroyed for 70 years, the desolation of it, and of Jerusalem also. You know, they still fight over it. It's never stopped, I don't think. It is.
If you look at 2 Chronicles chapter 36, verse 21, that chapter deals a lot with the destruction of Jerusalem, but then it refers to what you were just talking about there with Daniel. And 2 Chronicles 36, 21, this was all done to fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of the prophet Jeremiah until the land... Now that is the land of Canaan, had enjoyed her Sabbaths. And as long as she lay desolate, she kept Sabbath to fulfill the 70 years. When the children of Israel went into the land of Canaan, there were certain guidelines they were to abide by. And one of them was every 7 years, you let the land lay fallow. You do nothing, you don't plant, you don't harvest, you don't raise any kind of crops. And the children of Israel had gone away from that. They had gone to where they were planting all the Sabbath. And this was one of the reasons Nebuchadnezzar was brought in, not only the idol worship, but because of the fact they had not paid any attention to the Sabbath, and that was a Sabbath year, not a Sabbath day, a Sabbath year. And Nebuchadnezzar, that's when Nebuchadnezzar came in and conquered him, and they had to remain in that area for 70 years under Babylonian and under the control of the Medes and the Persians for 70 years. And that's what God was saying here in 2 Chronicles 36:21. Until the land had enjoyed her Sabbath, and as long as she lay desolate, she kept the Sabbath to fulfill the 70 years. So that's one of the reasons the children of Israel were taken captive, and as you were talking about there, when you're reading there from Daniel.
You know, God scattered the Jewish people out because of their sins. God wanted them in one area, but they wouldn't listen to God. And so God scattered the Jewish people out. Even the ones that's in Egypt when Moses led them out and stuff, it was because of their sins that they was in Egypt and they was held for slaves over there when God sent Moses to deliver them out. And that's what he's doing to them here because of their sin. And you know, and we should never think that God wouldn't punish us for our sins. If we continue in them, he's going to punish us. His word says he will. So, you know, we need to watch what we do and stuff and not keep sinning and sinning and sinning. Because God might forgive you, you know, let you go by once, but he's not going to keep doing it. Verse 3, and I set my face upon the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplication, by fasting and sackcloth and ashes. Now, he set his face. Does that mean that he looked up towards heaven? Or just he set his mind upon God? Here, you know, well, in prayers and supplication.
You may be right on the wedding both. If you remember, when Daniel was taken captive and put in the lion's den, he had a routine of three times a day. He would go and pray to God facing toward where Israel was at. And, you know, that's putting your face toward God. Not necessarily, like maybe he looked up, we don't know. But his intentions, his whole thought was to God. It was not to, well, what can I do? How can I do it better? But, it may be just his intentions, his direction, and his thoughts was toward God.
Don't you?
Looked up to heaven. I mean, Karen and I were talking the other day. People, when they always give thanks, they always look up. I've never seen anybody ever look down and give thanks. As far as you say, oh, thank you, dear God. They're always looking up.
Probably only when we get down on their knees and bow down, you know what I mean, to pray to God. Stuff, but you know, don't we often look up towards God when we pray and picture him sitting on the right hand of his Father? I do whenever I pray. You know, I get that picture in my mind, even though we don't know what exactly Christ looked like, but I can just see a picture of him sitting there by his Father. You know, when Daniel, it's like Daryl said, he was looking out the window towards God, I believe, towards heaven.
John chapter 17, when Jesus prayed that whole chapter, he looked up to heaven. It says in verse 1, lift up his eyes to heaven. He would praise God, his Father. That don't mean we have to. As long as from the heart we pray.
Yes.
Drive in our car, I believe.
That's what God wants in the heart.
I think looking up in the heavens, especially something to do for a real dark night, you go out there in a clear night and look up at everything and just stand there and look at it for a while. And just think about what that is. It's just beyond belief. You think about all the creation. You know, and I saw a sign coming up. Right now, New Max and Southern Miss, we were in the football playoffs. They were, the whole town's enthused, and all Southern Miss with signs were up every place along the highways, just all the way clear to Shawnee, in the morning in Straitsville. But they had up there one team, one town. The towns had a hard time getting together during the consolidation. That was 70 years ago. Finally happened, and one dream. Now, they understand down there what one team, one town, one dream means. Then we go to what Tom just said in John 17, what was Christ looking up praying about? Will we all be one? But when it comes to religion, it's all right that we have 1,000 different ideas about what, or more, about what one is.
You know, I agree one thing they say, we're one body. You know, we are, if you're of Christ, we are of one body. And you know, and we should rejoice in that body. You know, we should praise that body and praise each other. Be thankful we got each other to depend on. We need each other, we really do. You know, you just don't realize how much, when I was in the hospital, how much I needed you people. I believe that's the reason I'm here today is the prayer of the righteous people. I believe that from my heart. And, you know, and that's the reason we need each other, you know. We need each other in good times and in sad times.
Yeah, to be plan one.
Yep.
And we understand that in the things around us. Then when we come to religion, we have a different standard.
Yeah, well, we got to realize what one means.
Yeah.
It means we all agree in one body. Yep, and one man, or not man, one God.
Sorry, Dave, that's a little bit off the subject, but I need to think about that.
Well, you think about like what you talked about with the football team there from Miller. Something you think about they played Friday night, they played at the Sheridan High School up in Somerset. Somerset actually came to the cemetery of their 13 and met the Miller Falcons and actually guided them from there all the way to the football field. I seen it because I was out on the road. Come, but you think about like Jimmy was talking about how everyone came together. It didn't matter that Miller was saved from Shawnee. And it should be the same way with us when it comes to Christ. You know, we need to be all one, one person, all one.
Verse 4. And I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him, and to them that keep his commandment. Now he made his confession here for him and the Jewish people. And he'll tell us on down the next verse, we have sinned. Even though he was a prophet, he knew, as you know, and I look at this church, you know, if I go out here and sin, I don't only hurt myself. I hurt the body of Christ here. And somebody sees me do it, people will say, where does he go to church at? And it will affect each and every one of my brothers and sisters in Christ. Not only me, it will affect us all by doing it. So, you know, we ain't only hurting ourselves, we hurting our friends, our brothers and sisters in Christ, our family. And then, most of all, we are letting God down. Yes.
Same thing with Christian and what the outside world's going to think if they're seeing us do these things.
You know, and if we do good things, they also see that. You know, and that's the reason we do to help people.
I think you also need to look where you start there in verse 4 where he said, I prayed. And you jump back to verse 3. He had made a definite change in his attire because he said, I've made prayers and supplications with fasting. I did it with sackcloth, and I was always told sackcloth would be similar to burlap, something like that. And then he had ashes, which was a custom that day and age. You'd perhaps sit in the ashes, or you could put the ashes, pour them on top of you to some extent. And that was the basically, you know, showing yourself that I'm low. I'm down here ground level, Lord. I'm not raising myself up. I'm humbling myself before you. And that's the reason it's showing those things, but the fasting, the sackcloth, and ashes. Otherwise, he wouldn't have mentioned it. It wasn't important in the way he approached God.
Verse 5. We have sinned and have committed iniquity, and have done wickedly, and have rebelled, even by departing from thy perspective and from thy judgment. Now, you know, like I said, he says, we have sinned, meaning him and the Jewish people. They had committed iniquity. How did they commit iniquity? They got away with God's law. They went against it. You know, this goes back to Tom's sermon where he said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And you know, if we say we love God, we should keep his commandments. We should do everything in our will to keep them as Christ did. Yeah, we know none of us is perfect, but we can't just keep living in sin and profess to be something. It just ain't going to work. You might make yourself feel that way, but God above knows. Neither have we hearkened unto thy servants, the prophet, which spake in thy name of our kings and our princes and our fathers and to all the people of the land. It's telling here the prophets gave them the law and they hadn't kept it. They'd done away with it. They went astray from it.
It's kind of an interesting thing about Daniel of people in the Bible. There's very few people that have nothing bad mentioned about it. Joseph was one, and Daniel was another one. Of course, our Lord and Savior never sinned at all. But the point I'm trying to get, nowhere in any of the scripture does it talk about something that Daniel did wrong, but yet he included himself in their sins. So he was the thing that, even though the Bible doesn't say it, there was something that he had done wrong, and he said,
yes,
we have. And he wasn't putting himself bigger or separate from the people. He was including himself right with them.
Yeah, we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Yeah. So we all have sinned. He wasn't none perfect but Jesus Christ. And even Daniel, even Abraham, Moses, we can go back to the Greek prophets, and they had things in their life, but they was forgiven of them. And that's what we must do.
That's the key, they're forgiven.
Yep.
They didn't necessarily, in some cases, they did them on purpose, where Moses killed the Egyptian. It was done on purpose. It was no hiding it, but he was forgiven of it.
Yes.
Now, how many of us have done anything anyways near as bad as that? And we think God's never going to take me to heaven. Well, if he can forgive Moses of that, he can forgive us for about anything we need. He can, there's no about it. He can forgive us for anything we do.
And he will if we ask for with a repentant heart. Sorry.
God never asked us to be perfect.
No. No.
He's asked us to try to follow him.
That's the reason he still gives us grace even after we become Christians.
Yeah.
You know. That's where grace comes in, because he knows none of us is going to be perfect and stuff. But, you know, we shouldn't sin on purpose, though.
Right.
We should, if we do, it should be accidental because we don't know better. Verse 7. Our Lord, righteousness belongs unto thee, but unto us confusion of faith, and unto this confession of faith, and at this day to the men of Judah and of the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and unto all Israel that are near and that are far off, through all the countries whither thou have driven them, because of their trespasses that they have trespassed against thee. He's, you know, praying for all these people, even the ones was in Judah, you know, and Jerusalem. That's where the offerings was. That's where the temple, God stopped them from taking sacrifice. He let them go in and destroy it, desolate it for a while, where they couldn't bring offerings into him and stuff. And it's because of their sins. And the reason the Jewish people were scattered out was because of their sins. Does someone have anything? O Lord, to us belong confusion of faith, to our kings, to our prince, and to our fathers, because we have sinned against thee. You know, like I said, when we sin, and you know, it doesn't only hurt us, it hurts everybody and stuff. And there's confusion because one was, you know, some was probably wanting to do right, some was wanting to do wrong. And you know, you see many churches break up because of confusion. And I think, you know, every church should sit down and work the problems out. You know, as Christian people, there's a way to keep it from happening if we just sit down and reason together. That's what the Bible says. We should come and reason among ourselves and discuss it. But you also got to have an open mind when you do something. But to the Lord our God belong mercy and forgiveness, though we have rebelled against him. You know, God's mercy and his grace will always be there for us if we make our heart right again. It'll be there and stuff, but you know, and we really believe in our heart and that God, you know, we have sinned against God and we want to change and do better. But once we asked him, we should do better. That's the main thing. Is do what you say. Neither have we obeyed the voice of the Lord God to walk in his way, his law, which he set before us by his servants, the prophet. Now they went away from the law that God put down for them through the prophets. The God gave the prophets, you know, his law that he wants us to live by today. You know, He gave us laws when Christ came. You know, we went into a new covenant, but we have new laws that we live by. You know, back in the old days, people wasn't baptized under the old law, but under the new law, we gotta be. You know, it's a commandment. It's a law. It's one of God's laws. If you, you know, need to be buried in his death by baptism. Yea, all Israel have transgressed by law, even by departing, that they might not obey the voice thereof. The curse is poured upon us, and the oath that is written in the laws of Moses, the servant of God, because we have sinned against him. You know, the Jewish people, think about it. When Moses went up on Mount Sinai to get the laws, the Ten Commandments, what happened? The Jewish people was making golden calves to worship. They was going against God's law while Moses was there getting them. You know, and I don't know, you know, you couldn't blame Moses for kind of being angry when he came down. You know, probably took him by surprise. Stuff, because he had more faith in them. But they couldn't, you know, he couldn't wait. Stuff, not even till he got down. And how, you know, God talked to Moses up there and gave him the laws. He used to talk to him, but he don't talk to us now. He's already gave us his law through this Holy Scripture that we're reading.
It talks there about the fact that there's a curse and an oath written in the law of Moses. If you go back over to Leviticus 26, chapter, it gives a whole list of things the Lord's going. He says, if you do not obey me and do not observe all these commandments, if you despise my statutes, or if your soul avoids my judgment so that you do not perform all my commandments, but you break them, this I will do to you. And it gives here about another 40 verses of things that's going to happen to them. And it all came true. It all came true.
You know, one thing we must remember, you know, if we keep all God's commandments but one, we still fail.
Yeah.
We should keep them all. So we'll quit on that. I'd like to thank everyone.